From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Welcome to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, on this hump day. That's right. Happy Wednesday, ladies and gents. So glad you have allowed Current Sports to be a part of your Wednesday evening. Keep it locked right here to WKAR AM 870 as we have a full plate to get to today. We'll talk about two new captains for the MSU men's basketball team. The Pistons are in trade talks. I'll also be chatting with Rico Beard, co-host of the Ryan and Rico Show on Detroit Sports Radio 105.1. And today's Barbershop Wednesday topic centers around the World Cup. Will America really care about soccer after things are all said and done? We'll talk about that and so much more. But before we get to all of that action, as custom here on Current Sports, here are your quick hit headliners.
I'm Matthew Luckey, and these are your Current Sports Quick Hit headliners for Wednesday, June 25th. Michigan State men's basketball coach Tom Izzo has named captains for next season. Izzo chose junior guard Denzel Valentine and senior guard Travis Trice as the 2014 and 15 captains after last season's team played without a captain. Valentine appeared in all 38 games last season, starting 33, averaging 8 points, 6 rebounds, and almost 4 assists per game, while Trice appeared in 36 games, starting 8, averaging 7 points, 1.5 rebounds, and 2.3 assists per game. The Detroit Tigers have now won 5 consecutive games, topping the Texas Rangers 8-2 yesterday. Ian Kinsler homered in his first at-bat back in his former home venue. And on the first pitch of a 7th-inning at-bat, American League Player of the Week J.D. Martinez drilled the tie-breaking 2-run homer off Colby Lewis. Martinez went 2-for-5 on the day. The Tigers have moved from 1.5 games behind the Kansas City Royals in the AL Central to 3 games in front. The Tigers and Rangers play again today, game 2 of a 3-game set at 8.05 p.m. In other Tigers news, Daniel Schlereth is back. The Tigers have reacquired Schlereth from the Pittsburgh Pirates in exchange for cash considerations, a team told MLive.com on Tuesday. Schlereth, a lefty reliever, has been assigned to AAA Toledo and was not added to the Tigers' 40-man roster. In Pistons news, the Pistons are currently in talks to trade forward Josh Smith to the Sacramento Kings in exchange for a package of players that could include Jason Thompson and Derek Williams. Other Kings mentioned in the rumors include Jason Terry and Carl Landry. While the Kings' number 8 pick in the draft has not been discussed, the deal would rid the Pistons of Smith's massive contract. The 2014 ESPY nominations have been released, and several local figures are up for awards. Tiger slugger Miguel Cabrera is in the running for Best Male Athlete and Best MLB Player, where he's joined by teammate Max Scherzer, and Royal Oak natives Charlie White and Merrill Davis are each nominated for Best Olympic Athlete in their respective genders. The awards will be handed out on July 16th. In the College World Series, Virginia and Vanderbilt are set to face off tonight in a winner-take-all Game 3. Virginia Road pitcher Brandon Waddell's complete game to a 7-2 win in Game 2 last night after Vanderbilt took Game 1 9-8. And in the World Cup, yesterday's games had Costa Rica drawing with England, Ivory Coast falling to Greece 2-1, and Uruguay topping Italy 1-0. And finally, Colombia destroying Japan 4-1. Today, Nigeria and Argentina are tied at 1. Honduras and Switzerland play later at 4 p.m., as do Ecuador and France. All games will be aired on ESPN. At Wimbledon, Andy Murray won his second-round match in straight sets, and Novak Djokovic is up a set going into the second. We'll have updates on that match throughout today's show. In women's singles, both Williams sisters move on, as Venus won her second-round match today in straight sets, 7-6 and 6-1. Victoria Azarenka is down in her first set against the unranked Jovanovski. We'll keep you updated during the show. The Williams sisters have their first-round Wimbledon doubles match today at 1:30 p.m. Finally, Penguins center Sidney Crosby has been crowned as the Hart Trophy winner, also known as the NHL's most valuable player. This is the second Hart Trophy for Crosby since he won it 7 years ago, back in 2007. That wraps up your Current Sports Quick Hit headliners for Wednesday, June 25th. We'll send it back to Al to start the show.
All right, thanks a lot, Matt. As you see, a ton to talk about on today's show. My goodness, our phone lines are now open. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. For those of you who want to call in, you can do so by picking up that phone and dialing that number. And on today's show, kind of like we did yesterday, the one goal, one passion basketball camp that MSU hoop great my team Cleves is putting on. It's coming to Lansing. It's going to Benton Harbor, Lansing, and Flint as well. It's making a trip to three cities. And yes, it'll be here in Lansing at the end of this month. And here on the show, we had one caller call in. Chris called in and got the opportunity to sign his son up for free by just simply calling in and giving their thoughts on any of today's sporting action. And you can do so. We're going to do this for four other individuals. So if you know, a son or daughter who wants to sign up for the One Goal, One Passion basketball camp for absolutely free, you can do so by picking up that phone again, 517-355-9527. Pick up that phone, call in on today's show. We'll take your name, number, and email down along with the name of the child who wants to participate in the One Goal, One Passion basketball camp. Again, folks, 517-355-9527. We'll be taking your calls throughout this entire hour. Well, a lot to get to in just a moment. During our second segment of today's Current Sports, I will be chatting with Rico Beard, who is a friend of Current Sports. He is a host of the Ryan and Rico show for Detroit Sports Radio 105.1. Rico is obsessed with recruiting. I have no idea why. I hate it. But he's going to be on the show to talk about it and talk about the new recruits for the 2015 class for the MSU football team, and also his predictions on this year's upcoming MSU football team, as well as the MSU men's basketball team. So we'll chat about that and so much more. And also, Rico has a pretty strong opinion on the World Cup, and he doesn't like it. He is not a fan at all. Surprise, surprise there from Rico, right? He doesn't like the World Cup at all. Not a big fan of it. He'll rather watch grass grow. So we'll get his thoughts on that as well. And that kind of rolls right into our Barbershop Wednesday segment today, which will be taking place during our third segment of the show. And today's Barbershop Wednesday topic focuses on the World Cup. And we're asking all of you out there to call in and give your thoughts on this as well. Will America really care about soccer after the World Cup? Sure, it's fine and dandy right now. I'm flocking to my TV, yelling at my TV. Bars are packed. There's viewing parties going on each and every match for the U.S. of A. And people are, you know, not even just with USA soccer. People are watching the games daily when it has nothing to do with the United States of American soccer team. So we're going to ask you all, you know, when this is all said and done, well, America, how much progress will we have made in this whole World Cup fiasco here in the States? And will America really care about soccer after the World Cup? So we'll take your calls on that as well, 517-355-9527. If you don't happen to be by a phone or can't call in at the moment because you're at work, slaving diligently at what you do, and still want to weigh in on the discussion, you can go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports and even tweet me at Al Martin, WKAR. And also, I have to remind you all that, yes, today is Wednesday, and each and every Wednesday here at the WKAR TV studios, Current Sports TV is in live and full effect. That's right, tonight at 6 p.m., I will be sitting down with former MSU men's basketball star Charlie Bell. He was an outstanding defensive player, appeared in three Final Fours, and took home the NCAA national title in 2000. And in the years since, Bell played in the NBA and in Italy and Spain. So definitely looking forward to that. If you want to be a part of that live studio audience and get a chance to meet Charlie, you can do so by signing up online for free at WKAR.org. And also, one little snippet of discussion that we'll be talking about as well later on in the hour. We'll be talking about the Tigers, who have won five straight now. How about the Tigers, folks? And if you caught yesterday's game, you know, Ian Kinsler, I mean, this guy is good. He's having the best season of his career right now. And his first at-bat playing his old team, the Texas Rangers, his first at-bat against Texas, and he smacks a homer to left field. How about that? And you know what? A lot of people were salty, though, specifically Texas Ranger fans and personnel specifically Colby Lewis, and even Rangers manager Ron Washington when it came to Kinsler's little gesture. If you haven't seen the highlight of Kinsler's home run from yesterday's game, after he smacks the home run to left field, Kinsler trots to first base, you know, making his rounds, and on his way to first base, he kind of gives a little wave to his former teammates in the bullpen. I thought it was great. It was a subtle way of talking a little trash, you know, and just kind of saying, hey, you know, look what you guys are missing out on, I guess you could say. But, you know, Ron Washington, he didn't comment on Kinsler's wave, but indicated he wasn't happy and that Lewis was miffed by it. And, you know, Washington said, quote, I have no comment on that. I keep that between us. And, you know, Lewis said he was disappointed in Kinsler's gesture, and that being Colby Lewis, the man who was on the mound and who gave up that homer to Ian Kinsler. Lewis said afterwards, quote, it's unfortunate. I feel like it's unfortunate, but that's just me. I'm not going to sit here and badmouth Kins. I really enjoyed Kins, and I enjoyed my time playing with him, and I enjoyed him as a teammate. Disappointed? That's the word. That's all. I love Kins. That's all. I was just disappointed a little bit. That's all. Well, Matt Ludwig and Alex Sharg now join me on today's show. Matt, this guy, you know, have we become that sensitive as a culture here today? You know, I'm sitting there reading these comments. It was a friendly little wave. And, personally, me, I love trash talking in sports. Now, sometimes it could go overboard. I don't like the Lance Stevenson antics that we saw. You know, there's a fine line between it. But him waving to the bullpen after smacking a home run against his former team, there's not many opportunities that someone can say they've done that. A little wave, that's all. It's not like he looked at the bullpen and started, you know, yelling curse words. He just gave him a little wave and trotted around the bases. What is wrong with that?
I don't see anything wrong with it. And honestly, Colby Lewis and pitchers in general, after they give up a home run or a big hit,
right?
I mean, don't even look at them. You can't do anything because right. They're going to take it the wrong way.
They're
and
salty.
Get upset. They are
Man.
Super salty. And, I mean, obviously with good reason. Mm-hmm. This, I mean, is it even trash talk? He didn't even say anything.
He said nothing. He
silent
gave a little wave.
Trash talk.
And he smiled. I love the smirk.
And you could see smiles on some of the Rangers in the dugout, too.
Right.
It wasn't like everybody was just up in arms, you know, ready to charge the field and start a brawl or anything. It was,
yeah.
You know... Spent his whole career in Texas.
Right, right.
Comes back, his first at-bat back in his home stadium.
Exactly. There's not many people
who
say
that. And he hits a homer.
Say. Yeah, there's not
if
many people
If you're not on cloud
that.
Nine in that scenario,
right.
I mean, you might not have a pulse. I think I'm glad he did. I think it's funny.
Right.
I think it's harmless.
Right.
I don't see anything wrong with it.
I totally agree with you. You know, that's, you know, again, this is coming from the mouth of Colby Lewis, the man who gave up the homer.
Exactly.
So, of course, he's disappointed about things and, you know, didn't like, you know, fellas always kind of a rub in the face with the whole antic. But, you know, so later on today's show, folks, we'll talk about the Tigers, and they are now on a 5-game win streak. My panic meter has gone down to an 8.9. How about that? It's going down steadily, man, here. So we'll talk about the Tigers later on in the show. To start off things, though, we got to mention this, folks. If you haven't heard, well, if you're just now joining us here on the show and didn't get a chance to catch our quick hit headliners, as Matt at the beginning of the hour talked about Travis Trice and Denzel Valentine. They have been named the captains for this upcoming men's basketball season for the MSU men's basketball team by Tom Izzo. Now, if you remember last year, the team did not have captains, so Valentine and senior guard Travis Trice will now move into those roles. Now, Valentine appeared in all 38 games last season, starting 33. He averaged 8.6 rebounds and almost 4 assists per contest. Travis Trice appeared in 36 games, starting 8 of those games. He averaged 7.3 points. Almost 2 rebounds and 2.3 assists per contest. You know, man, when I heard this news, you know, first of all, I'm glad that they do have captains this season. Because I think even though, you know, we've had coaches on this show, specifically Steve Fenimore, the East Lansing boys basketball coach, who also worked with Tom Izzo as a student manager of the team back when he attended MSU. You know, Steve Fenimore, numerous coaches, a lot of them don't put too much harp on captains on a team. And I think it varies with the coach, though, and it depends on the team as well. Because, frankly, I think, you know, some teams need a leader. Some teams need that captain. You know, some teams need that visible leader to go out there and rally the troops. Some teams don't. And for Tom Izzo, he felt as though last year he didn't. And to be honest, you know, looking at some of the games and some of the struggles that, you know, this MSU men's basketball team had last season, I think having a guy that you can go to that you can look at as the leader of this team to sort of rally the team. Now, their response and how they respond to that is a totally different discussion. But I think having a leader, a known leader for this team, is something that this team needed last year. And I think having Denzel Valentine, first of all, Valentine, just looking at his longevity, I mean, he didn't miss a game last season. He played each and every game last year, was a starter for a lot of last year's team. And, you know, I think that aided in a lot of his maturation and understanding as he now moves on in his MSU basketball career, in his college basketball career. Him not missing those games showed a lot of, you know, and being out there on the court and that experience aided in his maturity, and which is why I think he was named as a captain for this upcoming year.
Yeah, and I mean, it's one thing to play in every game in a season. It's another to do it in the season that Michigan State had last year when guys were going down, dropping like flies. I mean, they were battling injuries all year, and it was more than just one guy being out. It was a guy here, a guy there. You know, every few weeks there was a new injury, and they had something else to deal with. So I think him being able to play in every game, being able to play in a bunch of different lineups, kind of acclimating to different kinds of responsibilities on the court, he became a steadying presence throughout the year. And even though every time, you know, he makes a big loud turnover, it makes you yeah. makes you cringe,
yeah.
he's still that steadying force, and the team is so much better with him on the court. I mean, he just makes things easier for everybody else. So when you have a facilitator like him, not to mention a senior guard like Travis Trice, I think those are two voices that will do nothing but good things for the Michigan State basketball team in terms of getting guys into the right spots, whether it's running offensive plays or setting up defensively. Mm-hmm. I mean, keeping guys' heads in the game, keeping guys focused. I mean, one thing you hear about Valentine all the time, even from Izzo himself, is how hard he works.
Right.
You know, he's constantly in the gym. He's constantly trying to improve. If you have a guy like that who is your junior captain, That's gonna kind of trickle down to the rest of the roster. Guys are gonna see that and pick up on it, and hopefully, you know, the whole team kind of gets into that mindset where they're constantly working to improve their games. With Travis Trice, he's been around for a while. You know, he's a senior guard.
Senior guard, yeah.
It's his time to step up, possibly a starter this year. I like him being a captain too because he's got swagger,
and that aids in his confidence too. Because, you know,
absolutely,
there were some times last, you know, throughout Trice's career, especially when he first, you know, started getting playing time with this team, there were just moments out there where he just didn't look confident to me. And, you know, when you have that label as captain, you're already having the target on your back as, okay, we're trusting you with this team, and we trust you to go out there and lead this team. So I think that is an aspect that is big when it comes to Travis Trice. And it's, you know, and looking at, you know, multiple times throughout last year's season, you heard from players and also Tom Izzo and Mike Garland and other personnel on that team just how Denzel Valentine was maturing as a player and as a leader on that team. You know, there were multiple times, you know, we heard from Izzo that, you know, Denzel said something at halftime to the team and tried to get them, you know, focused. You know, we would hear things like that, little things like that, subtle things like that about Denzel Valentine where you just knew that, okay, you could see this kid, you know, if not this year, and definitely next year, him being a captain and leader of this team. And, you know, he's an awesome kid. Been covering him since, you know, he was a basketball player at Lansing Sexton High School. I'm really excited to see how his game matures this season. And I think, you know, a lot of people out there, especially when MSU, you know, losing, when you lose a guy like, you know, Adrian Payne, you lose Keith Appling, who is, you know, a lot of people forget this, that Keith Appling was a definite Big Ten player of the year conversation type of guy when he was healthy at the beginning of last season. When you lose a guy like him and then Gary Harris, who is one of the best shooting guards to ever play here, when you lose those three components, there were a lot of doubters out there that said, okay, this team, there's no way they get to the Sweet 16. There's no way they sniff the Sweet 16. Very premature, and I think a lot of people are going to be surprised at just how good this team is going to be next season. I think a lot of people are underestimating this team, Matt.
I do too, and you talk about Valentine saying things to the team. It's one thing to do that when you're a senior. It's
right.
another thing to do it when you're a sophomore.
You
have two established seniors in Payne and Appling and a lottery pick shooting guard in Gary Harris, and you're still the guy who you know picks up the mantle and leads the team.
Right.
That's a totally different thing than just being, yeah, I'm a fifth-year senior. I'm going to be the captain this year. I mean, it's to have the, to embrace that kind of leadership role is important. It's impressive, and I think it bodes well for this year's team. And everything I've read in, you know, the last few weeks here about the basketball team has me inching closer to the Kool-Aid, because I like what I'm reading. I like what I'm reading about the freshmen coming in.
Yeah.
I like what I'm reading about Valentine and Trice. I think Dawson's going to have a big year. I'm bullish on this year's Spartans team. I think they're going to be a lot better than people think. I agree with you.
Yeah, definitely. We're going to talk with Rico Beard again from Detroit Sports 105.1 about, you know, guys like Lou Ross, Tum Tum Narwin. That's a cool name. I love that. So we're going to talk about, you know, the upcoming class and what, and get his thoughts on this year's upcoming MSU men's basketball team. And something also, when you talk about leadership, Matt, I'll always harp on this as well, because covering the MSU, and this is really when the notion popped in my mind about this, was when Kirk Cousins was the quarterback of the MSU football team. And looking at, if you ever have heard Kirk Cousins speak or hear him in a presser, or, you know, just have a conversation with him, Kirk Cousins was so impressive to me because he was so well spoken. I mean, the kid could, he could hold his own, he could host his own radio show. He was that good. It still is that good. You know, last summer going out, you know, the release of his book last year, I went out there and interviewed him, and, you know, it just amazed me how he carried himself and how well he spoke. It's unbelievable. And it's the same thing when I talk to Denzel Valentine and Travis Trice in the locker room. Denzel is a media darling. I mean, you can go up to Denzel no matter what the mood, even if they just had a crushing loss. You could go to Denzel, and the way he carried himself, the quotes you would get from him were so thought-provoking and intellectual, and for him to be that young and to speak that coherently was so impressive to me, which is why, another reason why I'm not surprised he's named a captain. And the same thing with Travis Trice. Even at, you know, the Lacey Holdsworth Memorial, Travis Trice was chosen to go up there and speak in a very, very touching, very, you know, a sensitive atmosphere, and be able to speak off the top of the dome with that much poise and comfortability. I mean, it was unbelievable. And those two, I mean, they resonate that leadership in that regard as well.
And the other thing that we haven't mentioned yet, they're both coaches' kids.
Exactly. So true.
That's huge.
So true.
I mean, they've been, you know, eating, sleeping, you know, drinking basketball for their entire lives.
Right.
You know, growing up in a coach's household, you know what to do. You know what you want everybody else to do. To have those two guys as the defined leaders of the team bodes well. Absolutely.
Exactly. Exactly. Folks, we are taking your calls throughout this entire hour. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. Well, another story that was rather surprising for me, Matt. The Detroit Pistons, they are reportedly in talks to trade Josh Smith to the Sacramento Kings in exchange for a package of players that could include Jason Thompson and Derek Williams. Both of them are forwards. Now, other Kings mentioned in the trade rumors include Jason Terry and Carl Landry. Now, while the Kings' number 8 pick in the draft has not been discussed, the deal would rid the Pistons of that just ridiculous Josh Smith massive contract. Well, first of all, Matt, when talking about this one, I was surprised that this notion even came up. You know, when we had this discussion, you know, in weeks past about Josh Smith and whether or not he will ever be able to fit into the mesh when it comes to Greg Monroe, Andre Drummond, and, you know, those two, when they're all three on the court. I mean, it's just a catastrophe watching those three on the court sometimes. And whether or not Josh Smith will ever be able to mold into that mix, I always have my doubts. You know that. And to see this come up, for me, if there was an odd man out, I thought it would have been Greg Monroe, because Josh Smith's contract, which is the, you know, that's the elephant in the room anytime we have this discussion, his contract is just so massive. It's like, how in the heck are the Pistons ever going to be able to elude this? So I was surprised that this came up. Again, he has 3 years, $40.5 million left on that contract. I hope this deal gets done. Right now, I was reading a few reports, and, you know, a lot of people were reporting this morning that the deal has been nixed. Yeah. I don't know. There's rumors left and right about this.
Breaking my heart.
I know. I was reading a few forums left and right, and a few reports coming from a bunch of, you know, media sources saying that the Pistons have reportedly nixed this deal, and that, you know, the talks are done with this whole thing. But still, I really hope that's not true.
Me too. I was wondering what kind of, you know, prayers we had to say, or you know.
Right. Shot went up last night about this, right?
Something to make this happen, because it would be great. It would be absolutely fantastic. If you know, and the Kings are no strangers to taking guys with giant contracts who other teams don't really want. I mean, they traded for Rudy Gay last year, and it actually worked out for them. So I don't think they're scared. They've got a new owner who wants to get as many big-time names as he can, mm-hmm. as quickly as he can, so he can kind of build a, you know, a team and try and compete in the West, which I don't know if he knows that Josh Smith's not going to help in that regard.
No, one of the worst three-point shooters of all time.
The less he knows, the better, I guess, for the Pistons. I mean, anything you can do to get that contract off the books, you have to do. I mean, you know, Carl Landry, who is kind of one of the also-rans in that discussion, I think would be a great fit off the bench.
He could
give you a little spacing. He can hit a mid-range jump shot.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to be taking threes all day. Mm-hmm. I mean, it just seems like any way you can get Josh Smith off the books, you got to do it.
Right, I agree.
You got to give yourself flexibility. And even though when I initially read the, you know, the headline, I was just praying that that number 8 pick would be included.
Right.
That would be the dream scenario. They get the pick back that they should have had.
Yeah.
Instead of, you know, trading it away to Charlotte. Even if it's not there, that's the dream scenario. Even if the pick is not there, you have to consider it.
You have to consider it. And,
you have to.
I'm just glad that, you know, because Josh Smith, I think he's one of the Achilles heels in this team right now because he's falling low with that jump shot. Again, he just hoists up threes left and right. You barely see him on the block. And when he does get on the block, it looks as though Monroe and Drummond get confused as to what they should do. And now you have an opportunity where Smith, if this deal is made and he goes to Sacramento, they'll kind of have a little three, if you will, in DeMarcus Cousins and Josh Smith and who am I forgetting here?
I'm forgetting.
Rudy Gay. Those three right there could be another three, a three-headed monster in the West, which is, they're thinking, again, the less that the Kings know about Josh Smith and how he's hurt us here in Detroit, the better, because we're trying to get rid of him by all means possible right now.
Oh, yeah, and at least with the Kings, he would be playing the four.
Right,
which is
exactly
where he should be playing. I mean, you have Gay at the three. You have Ben McLemore at the two, and then Isaiah Thomas at the point.
Right.
I mean, that's not a bad starting lineup for the Kings, so I can see why they would be interested. For Detroit, I think you need some flexibility. And when you have no first-round draft pick this year, I know Josh Smith was figuring to be a somewhat important piece, but long-term, I mean, $40 million over 3 years.
It's crazy.
Is a lot to pay to a guy who is, you know, sharing a position with one of your twin towers of the future. You know, it just seems like too much money to invest in the front court. I don't want this to become the Knicks of the Midwest where we're paying $120 million to three guys who can't play together.
Exactly. You got to free some cat room for the Pistons right now.
Absolutely. It's
a must right now because it's absolutely ridiculous. Josh Smith, I think, is the most overpaid player in sports right now. It's ridiculous.
It's really bad.
It is bad, dude. So I hope this deal goes through. And now if you're Greg Monroe, you got to be wiping your brow a little bit. Well, you still got to be a little nervous. I hope that this deal goes through because he was the guy. We have Vince Ellis on here talking about it. He was the guy that, you know, you heard in trade rumors all left and right. You know, the Pistons possibly trading Greg Monroe. And, you know, that contract looming over the head of Josh Smith was the reason why I thought that he could possibly be, you know, he was in concrete, set in stone, that he was going to be on this team next year. So we'll see. And Stan Van has come out. And I'm glad he did this too. He's very adamant in letting everybody know that he wants Greg Monroe on this basketball team. So we'll see what happens, folks. We'll see what happens. If you want to call in and weigh on any of the current sports discussion today, 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. I want to also remind you all that Mateen Cleaves' One Goal, One Passion basketball camp will be taking place right here in Lansing at the end of this month. And we had a caller yesterday who called in and got their kids signed up for free. Yes, that's our offer on today's Current Sports. We have four slots left, four kids left, four spots for you to call in and, you know, get your kids signed up to participate in the One Goal, One Passion Mateen Cleaves basketball camp, where you get to learn from some of the MSU greats of the past. And you don't only learn just basketball tips and how to shoot a layup and so on and so forth, but you learn life skills as well. It's a great camp. If you want your son or daughter signed up for free to be a part of the One Goal, One Passion basketball camp, call us right here at Current Sports by dialing 517-355-9527. We're going to hit the break. When we come back, we'll be chatting with Rico Beard, sports host for Detroit Sports Radio 105.1. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back in a flash.
me burn.
Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. And today, if you're wondering, what in the world are they playing here on today's show? Yeah, this is World Wednesday, folks, where Alex, you know, mans the, he's the guy behind the glass, picking music from all different parts of the world. Thanks a lot, Alex. I feel pretty cultured on today's show. Well, all right. Well, we have a great guest and friend of the show on today's Current Sports. He is the co-host of the Ryan and Rico Show on Detroit Sports Radio 105.1. It is my pleasure, as always, to welcome Rico Beard to Current Sports. How you doing, Rico?
What's going on, Al? How are you, man?
I'm doing very well. Thanks a lot for joining me today, man. So let's waste no time and dive right into it. Recruiting. I want to get your thoughts on the 2015 MSU football recruiting class. You know, which I have a list right here, which reads Justice Alexander. You have he's a defensive end from Ohio. Brian Lewerke from QB from Arizona. Noah Listerman from Ohio. He's an offensive lineman. A pretty solid class here. What are your thoughts on those who have committed to the Spartans so far, Rico?
Well, I think what you're seeing is despite what you see in like all the different websites, whether it's Rival, 24/7, or Scout, the Michigan State coaches are doing their own homework, and they're coming up with players that fit their style, their system. They don't care if you're a star guy that everybody wanted. They just are trying to get the best person for them.
Right, and if you, when you're looking at these lists, especially when you look at the 2015 MSU football recruiting class as it stands right now, MSU's success in the Rose Bowl, I'm sure, has contributed to a lot of snags that have turned a lot of heads, especially right here in mid-Michigan.
Well, it has. But really, the Rose Bowl has kind of helped throughout the country. I mean, if you look at Brian Lewerke, the quarterback out of Arizona, mm-hmm. I mean, who would have thought that Michigan State would be pulling a quarterback out of the Midwest area? But he said, hey, I saw you guys on TV. I saw you guys at the Rose Bowl. And I wanted to come out there and play. And, you know, he flew up here and committed. I mean, this was some – that was all based off of the Rose Bowl. So you're seeing in the South with a lot of players in Florida and in the Georgia area, they're getting in on a lot of SEC guys who saw the – especially on the defensive side, Al. They saw the way that defense played and said, hey, I want to be a part of the no-fly zone, or I want to be a part of that number one defense.
Right, and you know, Rico, looking at this year's upcoming MSU football season, as far as the 2014 recruiting class is concerned, I'm always interested in this aspect of recruiting because a lot of individuals, redshirt, you don't see a lot of players until maybe, you know, the second year, you know, here at MSU. But right now, looking at this upcoming year and this upcoming class, that, you know, what are some players? Who are some players to possibly stand out to possibly make an immediate impact on this team?
Oh, Al, that's a really good question. You probably, the one for certain is the guy who probably had the biggest story surrounding his recruitment. You'll see Malik McDowell on the field barring an injury. He definitely will be out there to make an impact. Malik is the type of player that so long as you keep that fire lit under him, he's going to make plays. And I think with Coach Ron Burton, and then looking at his coaching style, I don't think that's going to be a problem. That was the biggest knock on Malik, that sometimes he would take plays off. But I think playing on this defense, that's not acceptable. I mean, from Ron Burton to Pat Narduzzi, they don't believe in taking plays off. So you'll see him. Now, after that, Al, it gets tricky because there's so much depth.
Right.
It's a delicate balance. We don't want to waste this year's kid. But I mean, waste this the year for this kid. But if he's good enough, like for one guy who, believe it or not, Chris Fry, linebacker out of Ohio, he was he enrolled early, he played in the spring at linebacker, and they're just like, this kid has gotten bigger. He just makes plays. They look at him, and it's like they kind of see a Kyler Ellsworth type of person. Like he's not the biggest, fastest, or strongest, but he's always around the ball. So you'll see him. Craig Evans, the defensive tackle, and Enoch Smith. One of those guys will probably play this year. The other one will probably sit and you're going to see some ferocious battles in practice between the two of those guys, because neither one wants to sit out this year. Both want to play. But like I said, that defensive line has so much depth, you can't afford to just, you know, waste a year when you could sit somebody down and have them make a bigger impact in next year's team.
Enrico, you talked about Malik McDowell. Of course, he's a defensive end from Southfield, Michigan, a five-star recruit. He turned a lot of heads during his playing career in high school. Rico, did you get a chance, you being right in that area, did you get a chance to check him out while in high school? What type of player is he, and have you ever seen a recruiting story as complex as that one, with the whole ordeal that went down with his mom and so on and so forth? My goodness.
As far as Malik, I mean, played literally in my backyard.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't think that Malik was going to go to state, so I didn't cover him a lot, but I did catch some Southfield games. He was a man amongst boys, but sometimes, you know, he would kind of play down to the level of his competition.
Mm-hmm.
But when it was big-time games, he was a force. When they played Cass Tech, that was probably one of the best games of the year. It was the first game of the year, but it was probably one of the best games that I saw and playing. He's a guy coming off the end, or you can move him into tackle. He's gonna play this year. They're not gonna redshirt him. That was one thing that the staff said, that yeah, barring an injury, he's playing. As far as his recruitment, Al, every year I say, you know, I've never seen this, and I doubt if I'll ever see this again. I think that this is now the new standard of bizarre weirdness.
Right.
This is that. I don't think I'll ever see this again, and I pray to God I don't. Now, you've heard of parents holding out. It was a mother, I believe she was down in Louisiana or Georgia, and she didn't want her kid to play for a school, so she ran out to school with the letter of intent that he needed to fax off,
right,
hopped in her car, but she eventually brought it back. This became, I mean, this was like the 2000 election where it was over, but it wasn't over.
Right, right.
I thought we were going to have to go to the Supreme Court to finally get an injunction just to get this kid's signatures. I mean, there were contingency plans in place.
Oh, man.
If they had to wait to his birthday for him to sign. I mean, it was just weird. Finally, mom saw this is where he wanted to go. And you know what? God bless him. I'm just going to give him my support. And he signed it, Al.
Mm-hmm.
At 11:40, and it was due by.
Wow, that's unbelievable. And you know, Rico, this is just a case that. Oh, is Rico there? Did he?
I'm still here.
He got disconnected. Can we get him back? Oh, he's still okay. We still got Rico. Okay. And you know, Rico, you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Rico, you know, when you look at this, it's just a simple case of parents, and you kind of alluded to it. Each and every year, you start to see these. You see a weird story where a parent doesn't want their son or daughter, depending on what the sport is, to go to a certain school, and they get so salty about it, and then things hit the fan. I mean, what are your thoughts on parents just getting too involved in the recruitment process when it comes to their son or daughter? Because with me, Rico, I mean, hey, if my son wants to go to a school and play ball, hey, I'm supporting him 100%. I just think parents get too caught up in the whole ordeal.
Well, I mean, this has been going on for the longest, Al, where sometimes, and I'm not saying this about any parent, but there are parents who live through their kids, and they try to recapture their glory through their kids.
Right.
Another reason why you see parents get so upset, schools have gotten smart and realized not only will I recruit the kid, I'll recruit the parents. So the parents will develop a relationship with the coaches, and the parents will fall in love with a certain school. But not, and the kid may not necessarily feel that same way.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's kind of what you've had with Malik's situation, was mom was really feeling another school, and she wasn't feeling state where Malik was, and he wasn't feeling that other school. So that's another thing that coaches have gotten smart, and they realize, hey, if we can get mom or dad or grandma or whoever, you know, that'll do it. I mean, a famous story, Nick Saban went, and in order to get a certain recruit, he bought a six-pack of beer, found the grandmama, cracked open the beer, and sat in there and drank the beer with the grandmother, knowing if I get her on my side, this kid's coming to my school. And he got the kid.
Oh, man, I tell you, the world of recruiting is a fascinating one, to say the least. Folks, ladies and gents, if you're just now joining us here on Current Sports, we are chatting with co-host of the Ryan and Rico Show on Detroit Sports Radio 105.1. Rico, I want to get your thoughts on, yes, J. Rule Campbell. J. Rule Campbell, not too long ago, you know, came out, you know, went on Channel 7 News in Detroit and announced that he is no longer heading to Michigan State University. Really no surprise to me. He was sentenced to 60 days in jail, probation and community service last month for the assault that occurred in a school hallway in which he body slammed a school security guard at Cass Tech. It was caught on film. Everyone has seen this video. Were you surprised that J. Rule decommitted from MSU at all, Rico?
No, and I'd like to take this moment to give you some breaking news out. I am officially withdrawing my name from the NBA draft tomorrow. I will not
breaking
be in
news.
It because that's about as surprised I was at J. Rue saying he wasn't coming to MSU.
Right, right.
I think at that point, once they took Brian Lewerke and said that we're only taking one quarterback, and this happened, I think, back in March, that was the big red flag to anybody who paid attention that J. Rue's no longer going to be a part of the program. Now, the coaches and Michigan State can't say anything because he was not signed, but it was there. And I saw the interview, and I'm a big fan that I think sports people should do sports and news people should do news, and the two should not intermingle.
Mm-hmm.
And that was Channel 7 trying to go for ratings in my opinion, botched that story and just added extra pressure to that kid. If J. Rule was my son or my family member, I would have told him, you just need to go someplace and be quiet. Stop drawing attention to yourself.
Don't do the interview. Right.
Right, the proof is in the pudding. You go out there and you do well, fine. But just know you've already gotten two strikes against you, so your third time, people are going to come down on you hard. So you want to just go someplace and be quiet. As far as Michigan State, I mean, yeah, he came out and told the world he wasn't going, but anybody who knew anything laughed. Like I said, that ranks right up there with me withdrawing my name from the NBA draft.
Right, breaking news. Rico Beard would not be in the NBA draft, folks. So what do you think this kid's future holds? What do you think this kid's future holds, Rico?
Well, if the world of sports has taught me anything, he's athletic enough and talented enough that he will play someplace. Because the better you are, the more society and a team is willing to forgive you of your crimes or sin. The only thing you can't do is gamble. Anything other than that, if you are good enough, people will find a spot for him. I think you'll probably see him. I could see him like at a Central Michigan or a place like that. A place where, you know, he the best thing for him is to probably get away from the environment that he's in. And then you'll see a different side, and it'll give him a chance to grow up and to truly become a man without outside influences. But, you know, I could see a place like a Central or, you know, maybe, you know, some type of MAC school. I think Cincinnati was looking at him, but they recently just signed a quarterback. So he'll bounce. He'll end up someplace. But as far as those high offers he had of Michigan State, Alabama, and Notre Dame, I think all of those scholarships have sailed.
Yeah, definitely. All right, Rico, before I let you go, I want to briefly talk about the NBA draft, which is coming up on this Thursday. I want to ask you your thoughts on Gary Harris, Adrian Payne, and Keith Appling, because it looks right now, especially when talking about Appling, Appling has been having some good workouts with numerous teams, and many people can see him as a late projected second-round pick. Where do you think those three Spartans will land?
Wow. If I could land that, Al, I would probably be in Vegas right now.
Right.
Or
right.
I'd have a gigantic billboard on 127.
Stop it. Stop
but,
it.
But I think Harris, Payne is going to go someplace. A team like Minnesota may go after Adrian Payne, especially because they're going to be losing Kevin Love.
Right. And he's a locked in. I mean, you can pretty much guarantee that Harris and Payne are pretty much locked in first round picks, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I think Harris will be a lottery pick.
Mm-hmm.
Payne, I think, will be in the first round, probably somewhere in the teens to maybe early 20s. But, yeah, Gary Harris, I don't see him sliding past pick 14. You'll probably start seeing, I could see movement on Harris probably around the 7th or 8th pick. and then at that point he'll go. Appling, he's the beauty of going in the second round is a lot of times teams will pick you based off of a need, and he needs to go to a team where he could kind of fit in and learn the system, a la what Eric Snow did. Eric Snow coming out of Michigan State didn't have all the accolades that Sean Rusper did, but Eric Snow had damn near a 20-year career in the NBA. And if you told me that beforehand, I wouldn't have believed you.
Right.
But he went to the right situations. And I think for Keith, that's the same thing. He needs to get to that right situation and get his shot. If he gets a shot, you know, he could end up becoming like Eric Snow and have a long career in the NBA. But Gary Harris, I think he's going to start looking for Gary around pick 7 or 8. Start looking for Adrian maybe around pick 13 or 14.
Yeah, I agree. I have my notes right here. That's the same thing I'm predicting right now as well, Rico. All right, and really quickly, we talked about this at the beginning of the hour, folks. Denzel Valentine and Travis Trice being named as captains for the MSU men's basketball team. Surprised at all with that, Rico?
No, I mean, quite honestly, Denzel could have been named captain last year.
Right, right.
I think he would have stepped on some toes, but Denzel is just, and he's an alpha dog. He's a leader. Guys just gravitate to him all the way back from high school. I mean, I followed him on AAU, and everybody always has to ask, what's Zell doing tonight? Where's Zell going? What does Zell want to do? And he just is, he's charismatic. He can't help to lead. And last year he tried not to be a leader, but he still was. So that's why they didn't name any captain, because I think that it would have kind of been insulting not to give it to the seniors, but the players were following Denzel last year. So to me, it only makes sense that you just made the title official. Denzel's been the captain since he's walked on that team.
Yeah, that's so true. And you heard numerous accounts from Tom Izzo saying, you know, I remember he would come into pressers and say, yeah, Denzel had some comments at halftime to talk to the team about, and, you know, it kind of rallied us. I mean, you heard that numerous times throughout last season, so really no surprise there. All right, Rico, you know what? I actually checked out Press Pass this past week, and you were on there, and you guys were talking about the World Cup.
We're not talking soccer, Al. I will hang up on you.
You know, that's really quick, as we to end this, why in the world doesn't Rico Beer like soccer? You know, I got to ask you that.
Al, soccer is fine. What I don't like is the hypocrisy of most people who can't name you any member on the team, but right. They get in your face and say, how are you not watching soccer? And I'm like, because you know what? You weren't watching it a month ago. You're caught up in it. That's fine. I don't like the people, Graham Couch, who get in your face and tells you how much you must like this sport and you're an ugly American. I'm like, dude, you're about as bad as Jehovah's Witness on Saturday. Just go someplace and watch your game. I'm not bothering you. Why are you bothering me?
Right, right.
And I mean, I try watching it. It's just not a sport that I don't care for, really. I mean,
so you haven't watched 1 minute,
around.
Not
There's
1 minute
not a lot of
it.
Scoring, and every now and then somebody dies on the field and then miraculously gets up.
Yeah, there's a lot of LeBroning going on, if you will, a lot of flopping. You know what I mean, happening.
Right.
But yeah, I hear you.
I don't hate it. I don't hate it. It's just don't tell me that I'm an un-American if I'm not watching it or if I don't care. It's like you know what it's out. It's like the Belmont. Everybody got into the Belmont when they thought California Chrome could win the Triple Crown.
Mm-hmm.
And most people don't watch horse racing. It was an event. I look at soccer as an event, not really a sport right now. And the World Cup's an event that people are watching. That's fine. But don't sit here and tell me I got to watch this stuff.
Gotcha. I hear you. I hear you, brother. So you haven't watched one minute of the World Cup, you're telling me?
You know what? That's why God invented highlights.
Exactly. I hear you. Oh, boy. Well, Rico Beard, ladies and gents, he is.
Well, I'm sorry if I've upset some of your listeners, man. But
no, not at all. We keep it real here, Rico.
The last time I checked, that billboard shines brightly over the freeway. If you haven't seen it, Lansing,
oh,
get in your car and drive around. There's Al Martin smiling down upon you as he leads the people of Lansing.
I knew he was going to bring it up. It never fails. Co-host of the Ryan and Rico Show on Detroit Sports Radio 105.1. Hey, Rico, I'll be seeing you around, brother.
All right, man. I'll talk to you, Al.
All right. Always a good time with Rico. All right, let's hit the second break. When we come back, we'll talk about that sport that Rico just does not get into. Yes, soccer. Will America really care about soccer after the World Cup? That's our Barbershop Wednesday. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Well, let's get into our Barbershop Wednesday. We have about 8 minutes or so left in the show. If you want to call in and give your thoughts on our topic, which is, will America really care about soccer after the World Cup? You just heard Rico Beard, who was co-host of the Ryan and Rico show on Detroit Sports 105.1. You heard his thoughts on it. Basically, Rico is basically trying to say there, Matt, that he doesn't like posers. Folks who are just, you know, who had never cared about soccer before, who are now, you know, all go Team USA, red, white, and blue, and tuned into every game and can't name one player on the team. And, it's kind of a great segue into our Barbershop Wednesday segment, because now, you know, it's a legitimate question, because it seems as though when the World Cup does come around, it seems as though the interest grows each and every year. We talked about that earlier in the week. It seems as though the hoopla for this year's World Cup is unlike anything I've seen in past World Cups. But when it's over, it seems as though Americans say, okay, well, back to our NFL, back to our baseball, back to your regularly scheduled programming, you know, and we kind of forget about it to a degree. So I want to ask you, man, what do you think? Will America really care about soccer after this thing is said and done?
No.
I like your
answer. That's it. I mean, yeah. The thing is, you know, it happens once every 4 years. America has never really had a better, you know, chance of competing with the rest of the world as they have now. And I think it's kind of been building over the last few World Cups. It takes place in kind of a dead zone in the summer. What else is going on? We're still so early in baseball.
Doesn't matter.
Tough for a casual sports fan to really care that much.
Right.
So it's hitting it perfectly. It's got nothing to compete with in terms of viewership or fan interest. But when it goes away, all the players on the team are going to go to various MLS teams and over to Europe. And it's going to be tough to follow them. That is for sure. You have all these, you know, every time a World Cup game comes on and the U.S. is playing, you see they cut to all these viewing parties in various major cities where people are just going crazy.
Right.
Crazy
right.
Watching this game. I don't think that will ever happen for, let's say, the MLS finals. I don't even know when the MLS finals are.
Right. I don't either.
You know?
No idea.
And it's like, I don't see people in New York gathering to watch the MLS finals between Chicago and Seattle. Like, it's just not going to happen. I not in the near future, at least. I think once the World Cup ends, the NFL season starts to ramp up.
Yep, and you forget all about it
and
once the NFL starts.
All about it.
Yeah, and you know, I agree with you. I think that, and the proof is in the pudding. You can look at the years past. The same thing has happened where everybody's going crazy over the World Cup. Then once it ends, it's back to your same old, same old. You know, and for it to sort of change the culture here in America, I think that it has to happen more often than every 4 years. You know, maybe if it happened every year, you know, we would see a different trend here in America. It has to be more consistent for it to become a part of regularly, you know, our daily sporting lives here in America. Because every 4 years, I mean, it's like the Olympics. I mean, it happens every 4 years. You get ramped up for it every 4 years, and then you got to wait another 4 years for it to come back around. So that popularity kind of reaches peak and kind of goes down a little bit and may eclipse that peak in the next 4 years. But still, you got to wait 4 years for it to come back around. If it happened every year, I think we'll be singing a different song here. But the fact that it's every 4 years is the, for me, the biggest hindrance as to why it won't take off here in America.
Yeah, and the other thing is the MLS, while it's certainly moving in the right direction and getting better every year, it's not the elite soccer league in the world. It's not even close.
No, not at all.
I mean, you have to go over to Europe to find that those elite clubs, like club soccer, people who actually do enjoy soccer and are diehard soccer fans, they watch European, you know, the EPL, the Premier League, over in Europe,
right,
they don't watch the MLS. And it's tough to get an American audience when there's a six-hour time difference between when the games actually happen. You know, you're not going to wake up at 9 a.m.
Yep.
Just say, no, you know what, no, I can't go into work today.
Right.
I've got to watch this EPL match.
Like, no,
it's just not going to happen.
It doesn't even sound right. It sounds weird.
It does. It's a tough sell in America, especially when there's so many other sports going on. And you have the NFL. You have the NBA. I mean, people are pumped about the NBA draft.
I mean, know, right? Yep. Exactly.
I don't know when the MLS draft is. I don't even
Do
know how
many.
Exactly.
I have no idea.
Nobody
no
knows.
Idea.
You don't get to see the inside of a league like that. And
right,
the exposure is growing, but it's not there yet. I mean, there are some cities that are soccer crazed and they draw huge crowds.
Yeah, there are.
And people love the team, but it's not going to be a nationwide event like the World Cup. The
and
World
me,
Cup
it's
is
all,
a special event, and that's why people get so geeked up about it.
And for me, it's all about consistency at the end of the day, too. It has to be on a more consistent basis. Again, you're seeing the best soccer players in the world compete on the grandest of stages here and competing for a title that's so coveted in the game. And for the U.S. to be in that mix and to have a decent team this year aids in the hoopla, definitely. But for it to only happen every 4 years, again, I think that's the biggest thing, Matt, because if it was more consistent, I could see it taking
now,
off.
Now, if it happened more frequently, do you think it would take away from the magic of it? If it happened every other year?
No, I think, and that's a legitimate question, I think that if it did happen every year, it would still be special just because soccer is still the big, even though not here in America, it's still the biggest sport in the world.
Right.
And that alone, its popularity alone will drive that attention to be what it is that we're seeing now that's only happening every 4 years. So I think that the popularity, the sport, you know, in its popularity nationwide, you know, and well, not nationwide, you know, around the world will drive that fuel for people to tune in. And the added fact that America has more opportunities to get better at this game could attract more eyes to seeing the sport, therefore increasing its popularity, I think. So there's a lot of factors that weigh in that. So
there is. And the other thing is, when these guys go to Europe, it's not like they're all going to one league.
Right.
It's not like you can follow one league and follow every American player. I mean, they're in five or six different leagues. I mean, there are so many different venues and arenas for soccer. It's tough to follow a certain group of players because they're just so dispersed. They're so widespread. It's crazy.
It is crazy. It's a heck of a sport. I'm enjoying it. I'm not a Rico Beard soccer hater. So, all right, folks. Well, the show has ended. We are out of time. Thanks so much to all of you who have tuned in today's Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR East Lansing. As always, take care. Have a fantastic day. And be easy, people.